The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Marvelous Monday, and I share some real Dave dumb doings. That'll be fun. Plus, we know we should be praying, but what exactly is fervent prayer? And then finally, hanging out with God keeps us safe.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Any topic is open for conversation, praise reports, prayer requests, anything along those lines, trivia, shout-outs for people who are helping us keep the ministry going. Yeah, we do it all because why? Because we're doing the best we can. Keep in mind, it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. I have so much to tell you and so little time to do it, which is a whole separate issue. Let's start off by giving a little bit of acknowledgement to one of our ministry partners, Stephanie Vasquez.
If you got a problem, don't care what it is. If you need a hand, I can assure you this. I can help.
Stephanie can help you. Now, here's the deal. If you're a person that has no savings, no life insurance, you don't have any idea what you're going to do, you have nothing covered, you want to get in touch with Stephanie and get some building blocks in place. I don't know if you remember or not, but when we were in kindergarten, they gave us building blocks, and they had an A and a B and a C and a D and an E, and we put them together and start to build stuff. That's what you need to do if you've not built anything. Whether it's a savings or a retirement plan or whether it's just life insurance to cover while you're going through a period of time. Maybe it's a short-term life insurance. Doesn't matter. You need to talk to somebody to help you evaluate who's not sitting there trying to do something bad, just looking to do the right thing by serving the people of God. Stephanie Vasquez is that person for you. New York Life Insurance Company is that company, and we would encourage you to connect with her through hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org, or you can go to Facebook or LinkedIn, type in Stephanie Vasquez, NYL, for New York Life. We think it's great. We had her on just the other week. She did a fantastic job. She's going to be back on the next couple weeks. Love it. Love how she does it. Love the work that she does. I'm very, very excited for our relationship with her. A couple things I want to tell you. First, a brief update on Easton Scott. So Easton Scott has been in the hospital for almost 82 days.
Oh, that's brutal.
That's brutal. But in the next 48 hours is a very crucial time. So my daughter has asked that all the people that know us, all the people that listen, all the people we're attached to, which just so you can know, around this state and around the country and around the nation are thousands and thousands of people. We want to be praying that God will give great strength to Easton Scott. If he can eat more independently over the next 48 hours, there is some light that can be begin to be seen from the tunnel. So I'm asking you all to take the time to pray and ask for the Lord's help and that he might touch little Easton Scott and allow him to thrive. That's what you want to pray, that he will thrive. You don't have to give God all the details. Guess what? God knows. You don't have to give God the update. Just got to connect our faith together. So I'm asking you to do that. My daughter just asked me to do that before the show started. I have no problem doing that. I pray that you will participate and be with me in this. Hey, when one brother or sister rejoices, we all rejoice. And when one brother or sister weeps, we all weep. Well, we need to be in this together, and we're asking for your help. Please be praying for them, okay? I mean, that's pretty fair, pretty straightforward. A couple things to tell you. Let me give you a little history, and then I'll tell you what I did. I did a dumb thing.
Imagine that.
I don't know. It's me, folks. What do you want? I did, by the way, push through with Facebook, and we actually now have He Must Increase Ministry Facebook page. So we did get through that process. They made me go through a few hoops to get there. But so now we have He Must Increase Ministry on YouTube. He Must Increase Ministry on Facebook. He Must Increase.org. So we got that rolling. So I'm very excited about that. That's not the good thing I did. let me go over a little bit of history, then I'll tell you what I did, and then tell me if you can identify. For those that don't know, do you have an idea what the holidays are today?
I do not.
Okay. National Flannel Day.
Okay.
All right. Got nothing for that. National Oatmeal Day. Okay. National Clean Out Your Computer Day, which means to get rid of junk files and find yourself like a new desktop background.
Purge.
Okay. Purge. National Umbrella Day. That's over my head. I can't handle that. And then National Cream Cheese Brownie Day.
Oh.
Okay. Come on. Cream cheese brownies. That's just fantastic. For those that want to know from a historical point of view what took place on this day in 1863, the fire extinguisher was invented by Allenson Crane. Oh, that was pretty good. Duct tape also on this day.
Very important.
And that is very important because there's a lot of things in my life that are held together by duct tape.
Multi-purpose.
Very, very powerful. And then on this day in 1967, the 25th Amendment took place. If you don't know what that is, that's the Presidential Succession Act. It was ratified, designating the Speaker of the House and the Senate pro tempore next in succession after the Vice President. Okay. There you go. There's your ethics, history,
yes,
nonsense, and all the other stuff.
That means if the top two go, we got Nancy Pelosi. I'm just saying.
I'm just going on right now. I'm going on right now, folks. Moving on to the next thing. So I don't know if you've ever done this or not. Have you ever gotten a text?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you ever sent a text?
Sure.
Okay. So in my life, my text availability for people that need prayer or ministry is open pretty much. I'm a 24/7 guy for people that need prayer. That doesn't mean that I get in my car and drive to where they are, especially if the person lives in California and I live in Texas. But it does mean that I stop what I'm doing and I pray and I make that a concern and make that an issue and bring it up before the Lord in prayer. I also have another policy, especially with my wife, that I text about the funniest little things every once in a while so that we can cheer each other up throughout the day. That's a good policy. Mm-hmm. It's not like 900 texts. It's like one or two a day. Not a big deal. So here's what happened. Okay. I received a text right about 12 o'clock from my good friend Rob Laffler, who I talked about not that long ago, and him and his wife were going through some serious spiritual warfare. So then I thought, well, okay, I'm going to stop and pray. So I texted him, and I stopped and prayed, and I spent 10 minutes praying, just praying for them. They really did go through it. He slipped in the shower and hurt himself. She got up to help him and cut her hand wide open. I mean, it was like a mess, and they were really going through it. So I was praying for them, and that was really important. And I love them as not just my brother and sister in law, but he's like a brother to me. So it's important that I pray for them on a regular basis. Then I also got a text from my wife, and I thought, and she had wanted to touch base because she got called into work yesterday. That's how busy they are because it's Valentine's Day.
Sure.
So she's the floral manager. That means that she has to take care of everything when it doesn't work. So I about a half hour later opened up my text and wrote and had a little meme in there of a person putting their hands in their face, like really, really regretting something.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote, "I ate your Taco Bell that you had left in the fridge." And I sent that.
To your friend.
That's right. Instead of to my wife, it went to Rob. Instead of spiritual warfare being spiritual warfare, really important stuff, Rob got a text with a meme of somebody sticking their hands in their face and going, I ate your Taco Bell from the fridge. But I looked at it and I thought, uh-oh. And then I had to write a long text explaining how we that Noelle and I just text lightly and encourage each other and make each other laugh and da-da-da-da-da-da-da and sent that text. And then I had to send Noelle the original text. So here is what I have learned from my lesson. When you are texting, slow down. And make sure it's going to the right person. So he was great spirit about it, thought it was really funny. But see, this is the problem. The problem is if you send the wrong person the wrong message instead of spiritual warfare, they find out about your eating diet.
It could have been a whole lot worse.
It could have been a whole lot worse, especially depending on what I would have said to my wife about certain things is kind of how I would leave that.
I used to always ask the girl that comes in after me because she sends me a text and says I'm here. And she is a KG and the other, and my dog lady's a KG. And I would send her stuff asking if she wasn't busy, if she could go let my dogs out and feed them. That's the girl I work with.
A problem, folks. The problem is if you're talking on the phone, you kind of know, but in texting, it's almost like it's 50% of your brain, and then it kind of, you know, shifts over really fast. But it's spiritual warfare is real serious for them. And then I responded with Taco Bell.
Sure it lifted their spirits.
They did think it was funny, and then they did make another comment, which I won't put on the air. But he has permission to speak that way in my life. I am not fat. Anyway, okay. Deuteronomy 31:6. Let's just talk about this real quick. It says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Let's understand something. This is a portion in Deuteronomy that encourages us to be bold and full of courage. It doesn't say be stupid and obnoxious, which I think some people have interpreted that way. That's not what it says. It says, be bold and full of courage. You don't have to be ashamed of your faith. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, unto the Jew first and then to the Gentile. You have a right and a position and a order. The righteous are as bold as the lion, to be bold in your faith and full of courage. And you do not have to walk in fear. And this is something that Christians do on a much more regular basis than they're willing to admit because they recognize how bad it sounds. But when you're walking in fear, you're walking in an understanding that you don't know what's coming and you're afraid it's bad. Because fear has to do with something that's coming that's ominous, that's not good. And it's really faith in yuck. And you got to watch that. The passage says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. The most important thing to remember in every situation is God is with you. There are a lot of theological things I can tell you. There's even some cool things I could tell you, but it's very simple. If God is with you, it's cool. If you are in a big-time war situation and God is with you, it's good. If you're in a street fight, it's good. If you're afraid of your finances and God is with you, it's good. Because if God is with you, it's a good thing. God and you make a majority. And look what he says after that. I go with you. The Lord goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. One thing you can be sure of is God will never ever let you down. Ever. You can count on God. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere.
Sometimes things go according to plan. Sometimes not so much. The Lord will always help his kids, but he does want us to use the wisdom he gave us as well. Insurance solutions are a great key for using preventative wisdom. If things do go in a tougher direction, insurance can be used to fill in the gap. There's biblical evidence for preparing for the future. King David did this for Solomon and the temple. Stephanie Vasquez has joined forces with New York Life Insurance Company to help provide insurance needs to fill in the gap. Stephanie hopes you never have to use the insurance she brings to you for life solutions. But if you do, it's good to know there's someone there who can help. Stephanie Vasquez will help you fill in the gaps. Call her today at 214-499-5378 or go to LinkedIn and type Stephanie Vasquez, NYL. That's LinkedIn and type Stephanie Vasquez, NYL. Stephanie Vasquez, New York Life Insurance, and you. A threefold cord is not easily broken. Ecclesiastes 4:12.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him, and here's what I know. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He has three children and almost five grandchildren. He has three separate ordinations from three different denominations, and a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theology studies. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot.
It's not a dissolver that will take stuff off. It's spot on, not spot off.
If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people were going to have to listen to find out. The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
GOP Congressman's gay son was going to come on their show, and they were going to talk to him, and CNN and MSNBC canceled the interview because he wouldn't criticize his father. He wouldn't downgrade his father because his father maintained his beliefs. His son becomes gay. Makes a decision, by the way, to become gay. And the son will not criticize the father who does not change his Christian convictions. Will not change them. Father won't change them. Son will not criticize the father for that. MSNBC and CNN both canceled their interviews because the guy would not crucify his father. That is, of all things, as low as the press can go. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Couple things to let you know. You can reach the show 972-445-0770. Our website, hemustincrease.org. hemustincrease.org. On that website is an opportunity for people to give so that we can do three things. One, keep the ministry going. We are ministry partners and listener driven. I mean, we don't have any other way to do the finances. I'm not doing it as a business. So any kind of business that or anybody that wants to work with us that has a business, they do it by donation. And they you wouldn't believe it. I tell them they get to decide what they want to give. And it comes from listeners. We had somebody over the weekend that blessed us with a gift. And every time somebody gives, doesn't matter how much it is, it's such a blessing for us, my wife and I, to think, you know, people support this and people like what we're doing. And if you like the show and you like what we're doing, there's no selling of lists or any weird anything. It's 100% tax deductible. We ask you to give and participate. If you can't, we ask you to pray for us. That's all. We want you to enjoy, regardless, the radio show as much as you can enjoy it, and we want it to be as beneficial as is possible. On Facebook, you can go to He Must Increase Ministry. Yay! And then on YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. That's where you would go for those things. Let's do a little bit of acknowledgement for one of our people that give to us and help us in this ministry, and that's Clint and Mr. Restore.
Here I come to save the day. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right, he gets the situation well in hand.
fire and water damage cleanup, sewage removal, other restoration services all around the Texas area, smoke, wind, and flood cleanup, smoke, wind, and flood damage cleanup, the whole thing, free evaluations, advanced drying technologies. They work with all the insurance companies. If you've got a problem, they've got an answer to get you back to where you were. That's what Mr. Restore is all about. If you got a problem at your house, at your apartment, at your office complex, the buildings that you're at, whatever the case may be, if you reach out to Mr. Restore at MrRestore.com, they will take care of you. Clint will be right there on the spot taking care of you because he is the owner. He's got a great heart, a great spirit. I've told you many times they're connected to the Adaptive Training Foundation. We love these guys. They're great. And we're coordinating our next interview. The hardest thing is for Clint is he's so busy and they've got so much expansion. Getting him in is like one of the hardest things because he has to take like 3 hours out of his day. So we're going to try and do a phone interview sometime this week. Here's what I'd encourage you to do. Reach out to Mr. Restore at MrRestore.com. If you have any issues going on with restoration service and you need some help, you need to talk to somebody, they're the people you want to talk to. HeMustIncrease.org also has a link for them. And you are welcome to use that. We would encourage you to do so. Okay. Did you have a good weekend, by the way? Wonder Julie, just checking. Was it a decent weekend? I can't hear you. You got to read your mouth.
Yeah.
It was not bad?
Yeah.
How's your new door?
It's not painted yet. It's got to be at least 50 degrees or over. And so when I don't get home until 4 o'clock in the evening, then the temperatures start to drop. So things got to warm up a little bit.
Gotcha. It looks like it's warming up a little, though. This week it's got a little cold, but I saw like in 10 days from now it's supposed to be a little warmer.
I'll be in Cozumel.
You don't care then. Very good.
So, yes, it will be a little warmer.
It will be a little warmer for some of us. Good answer. Here's our first trivia question of the day. Nothing attached to it. Just want to make sure everybody's staying in the Word of God, because that is crucial. Here is the question. What did King Solomon ask God to give him? He asked for a gift in the beginning of his reign. What was that that God asked him? What did he ask of God to give? Remember, God spoke to him? And so Solomon asked for something? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What was that thing that he asked for? Okay, that principle of living. 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. Let's talk about direction as people are already calling in, which I like. I like it when people call in fast because they're like, yeah, we know that, yeah. And that means that they didn't have to Google it. It's not that I'm against Google. I just want you to be able to look it up in the Bible. All right. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Dave, this is Bobby Evans.
I was
reading my word, but I heard your question.
Okay, so here's the question. What did Solomon ask for when he first became king? What did he ask God for?
He asked God for wisdom.
That is correct, sir. Wisdom, more valuable than gold or silver or anything else. He asked God to give him wisdom. Because he asked for that, God said, I'll give you much more because you asked for that. So that tells you what the priorities really should be in our lives. Good job, Bobby.
Yes, sir.
All right, you keep us in prayer and keep my little grandson Easton Scott in prayer. He's got these next two big days. We're asking everybody to really pray extra hard for him that he would thrive. That's what we're praying for, okay?
All right, I'll be on it.
All right, thank you, brother.
All right, now.
God bless. All right, ladies and – you know, I always want to say ladies and germs, but that's just from watching stand-up comedy, so don't get mad at me. Have you ever noticed that sometimes in life trying to get direction? Have you ever noticed that sometimes that direction is really easy to get, and at other times, it's not so easy to get? One of the things that I was talking to Johnny Hill about last week, we have an expression. Now, don't get offended at these expressions. They're just normal expressions. Nobody's buying into what this is. But you got to be careful not to try and read too many things that you see in your life, in the sky or whatever, as always being signs from God. It's a little bit – sometimes you can get too far into that. Not that you shouldn't be looking, not that you shouldn't ask God for affirmation, direction, correction, and all of those things. And we know for a fact, as Christians, Bible-believing, born-again Christians, the plumb line is the Word of God. The Word of God is our place to go that we get the direction. But the Holy Spirit through the word, through circumstance, through people, through situations, also guides and directs us, and we ask the Lord to lead us. One of the things that happens is that sometimes we get a little squishy on how the Lord leads us. We're not always sure about what's going on. And so one of the things to keep in mind is when God spoke to Noah, he was 500 years old, told him to build an ark, and then he spoke 100 years later and said, get in the ark. So it wasn't like filled with conversation every other hour. And so you have to be aware that it's not just that the Lord has his written word provided for us that you and I can utilize to be engaging in what God communicates, what God's heart is regarding all of life matters, all contained in that 66 books between Genesis 1:1 and Revelation 22:1. But Isaiah 42:16 also says this, I will lead the blind by the way they did not know. I will guide them on paths they have not known. I will turn darkness to light in front of them and rough places into level ground. This is what I will do for them, and I will not forsake them. It's amazing that the last passage in Deuteronomy talks about God not forsaking us. This passage talks about God not forsaking us. And in every book, it talks about God not forsaking us. But for our position and our lives, we are often blind. We are often unable to see the direction to go. We are blind in our walk. And we do not know all of the ways that we're supposed to go. And the Lord even promises when we don't know, he's still going to lead us. He's still going to guide us. I don't want to drop God down to this level, but I want you to think of it also in these terms. If you've ever gone on a tour, many ways the tour guide points things out, lets you understand things, gives you a happening as to what's going on, puts things in context. In many ways, God is the ultimate tour guide as you go through this tour or this journey of life. And he says, I will turn darkness to light. Many times we're stepping forward and we're not sure what the next step is or where the next step should come from. And the Lord's saying, I will be a light. Now, and back then when they were thinking lights, they were probably thinking more fire on the stick kind of lights. Now we think flashlights and phones that have, you know, flashlights in them and so on and so forth. I don't think that's the point. I think the point is that when there's darkness, God will provide light. He might not do it in the time frame we demand, because he never does, or in the avenues and methodology that we expect, because he never does. But he promises to be faithful and do it. So if you can't see and it's not clear, but you're trusting in the Lord, he will make it plain. One of the great promises in here is he will turn the rough places into level ground. You ever walk through, and I've done this in Michigan and in Canada, where you walk through the forest and it's uneven and you can't see and you're kind of like going, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, look, the Lord promises to make the path clear, and you will have a pathway. He will direct you. You just can't tell God how to do that. You can't tell God when to do that. You can't tell God how he needs to paint the picture for you. You have to trust that he will guide you. Remember that whole passage in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not in your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He will direct your paths. He'll direct you. But he's going to do it his way, not your way. And the big promise that winds it all up is he says, I'm not going to forsake you. What that means to me a lot is that we think he's forsaking us when we're not getting the answers we expect. He's not forsaking us. He knows the best way for us to get the communication of the direction we need to go. And it's often not what we think. Okay? All right. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interest. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
What is the David Spoon experience?
I did what most Christian men would do when they make a mistake. It's their fault. There's nothing but humiliation on your face, and you're trying to recover in the moment. And you know what I did? I blamed it on every possible unseen force except for myself.
You have chosen wisely.
So guess who knocked that crystal light on that white carpet? It was Satan, by golly. Well, it was at that moment. Because it certainly wasn't my fault. I didn't knock the crystal light all over. It was my glass. I did pour it. I did bring it to the table. And somehow fell on the carpet and spread everywhere. And by golly, I wasn't going to take the blame for it. Because that would be taking personal responsibility. Well, I'm not taking personal responsibility. After all, that $500 deposit we just had that we were hoping to get back when we move out is already down to $200. And it was dropping by the dollar as the stuff was spreading.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. You're welcome to call and say howdy. Our number here, 972-445-0770. Our website, HeMustIncrease.org, with videos and audios and all sorts of goodies. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. See, I'm writing it in on my piece of paper. I'm crossing out what the other one was and putting in the new one. Let's see. He Must Increase Ministry. And then YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. That's where we're at. That's what we're doing. Get ready. You know, we're going to do a teaching that I haven't done. We're going to do a Greek teaching. Hang in there, folks. Just hang in there with me. All right. But first, we're going to give another prop and another shout out to Kimberly McQuinn. It's pretty simple. First-time buyers, experienced investors, foreclosure, short sales, doesn't matter what it is. Kimberly, an associate realtor with Fathom Realty, an associate broker with Fathom Realty, and then a realtor with Fathom Realty. So she's working under the banner of the broker of Fathom Realty, and she is terrific. That's it. She has this great passion. She knows real estate in and out, and we're just going to encourage it, not even going to make it complex. If you're sitting there thinking this is a good time to sell, okay, or this is a good time to buy, or this is a good time to potentially buy, potentially sell, sell and buy and sell, just get in touch with her. Her phone number, 903-48-HOMES. That's 903-48-HOMES. 903-48-HOMES. And the reason you want to get in touch with her is you want to talk to somebody who knows what's going on, understands trends, doesn't do this as a hobby, is passionate about it, and will work with you. It doesn't cost you anything to touch base with her. We like that. This is stuff we like. She's a sister in the Lord, and we want to bless her. And if you got something going on, she's a good person to use. Now, you can also connect to her by going to HeMustIncrease.org and going to the Best Ministry Partners Ever link. And she has, I have two pictures up there. I got a house up there, and I got her picture up there, and then links to contact her. Just easy as can be. If you're looking for somebody and trying to get a handle on it, she would be the person to talk to. Okay, I want, I guess I want Wonder Julie to be prepared because I don't know how this is going to go, but we're going to do a different style of teaching than I've done before, which doesn't really mean anything to most people, other than I'm going to teach a little bit of Greek. You ready for some Greek? It's all Greek to me. How about you? Do you remember that saying? It's all Greek to
yes.
me?
Yes.
All right. Poor Wonder Julie. Leave me alone, David. I'm getting ready for my trip. Okay, sorry. So I was reading my devotions today, and Acts chapter 12, verse 5 was the portion that my brain gravitated to. And you might be thinking, why, what's going on there? So I'm in Acts, and I'm in 2 Corinthians, and I'm in Hebrews, and I'm in Genesis. These are the four places that I'm at. And for those that are wondering about the PhD, while everything is set in stone, David is not set in stone. So I'm praying to make sure it's what the Lord wants, just in case you're wondering. So then I'll probably come on here and just sound like mush. But anyway, the passage that I'm talking about in Acts chapter 12, verse 5 is, so Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. So I read that, and I think that a lot of people do this. You read this and you think, okay, so Peter was in prison, but the church is earnestly praying to God for him. And then I'm sitting there thinking, what does that mean, earnestly praying? So I decided to review this in different translations. So I'm going to read some of the different translations so you can hear the differences that translators come up with in regards to this. And I also have the Greek one in my hand. And I'm going to read that to you as well, so I want you to just hear. It says this. I'm going to read about five of them. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying for him. So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was fervently praying. Here's the Berean literal Bible. So indeed, Peter was kept in the prison, but fervent prayer was being made to God by the church concerning him. New American Standard, also using the word fervent. The New King James uses constant prayer. The King James uses prayer without ceasing. Christian Standard Bible, praying fervently. Contemporary English Bible, the church never stopped praying to God for him. So these, I'll read these in different translations. I'm thinking there's a lot of room there, a lot of different things. So here is the actual Greek. I'm holding it in my hand, so if you're not watching on Facebook, you can see it right there on Facebook. I'm putting it out there so people can see it. Here is what the Greek is from the literal translation of the most recent Greek text we have into the breakdown translation. It says this: indeed, therefore, Peter was kept in the prison. Prayer, however, was fervent, being made by the church to God concerning. Read that again, because I think you guys need to know how the Greek is different than English. Indeed, therefore, Peter was kept in the prison. Prayer, however, was fervent, being made by the church to God concerning. That's the Greek translation. So I decided I want to do a word study on that fervent, because that really is a fascinating word. The word is ektenose. Ektenos, actually. Ektenos. It means intently, fervently, earnestly, strenuously, fervently. Here, cognitively, and in its proper verb, it says this: properly, fully stretched, describing the verbal idea as extended out to its necessary potential without slack. Strenuously, without undue let up, completely. In other words, fervent prayer is prayer that doesn't stop It doesn't give up. It stretches with no lack in the stretching. It's fully stretched out, and it's there's no let up that takes place. It's full. It's extended. It's praying it all the way through. That's what fervent prayer is. And you think, why does that matter to me? Because there are some of us that will pray, and we will pray the blurb. That's whatever blurbs down the side of your left or right mouth, the corners of your mouth.
You go, oh, the Lord help me.
But Scripture illustrates, by the way, this is used two times in the New Testament and two times in the Old Testament, the same principle. Scripture illustrates that prayer is also, and while there are times where you just offer it up right there in the moment, it is also this painstakingly long endeavor that doesn't quit and has no let up or lack and no giving up whatsoever. In fact, when Jesus taught people to pray, the Greek word that was used in translating Jesus' word is one of the original words of annoy. You ever annoy somebody? Did you ever drive them? If we bring Wonder Julie on the air and ask her if I ever annoyed her, she would just smile and laugh and bob her head. Why? Because if she told the truth, I annoy her all the time. Why? Because I'm annoying. And when I pray annoyingly. I want to be that wretched sound that has to be responded to because it just drives people crazy. I want to be the squeaky wheel. I want to be that person. When I'm praying to the Lord, I'll bring the same thing to him. I've brought the same prayer to God for 40 years in a row. I'm not stopping. Why should I stop? And so the idea is that, well, no, if you pray, you just pray once and then you give him thanks. Nope, sometimes you got to stretch it out. You got to pull it out. You got to be the most, not the most obnoxious, but you got to obnoxiously continually pray almost in a persistent, annoying fashion. Just don't let it go. Don't let it go. Don't let it go. Don't let it go. Why? Because it's effective. That's why. Because praying without ceasing matters. Because the idea that you would persistently, fervently pray with a passion and not quit and not move on it and not budge on it is genuine faith in action. And when genuine faith in action takes place, life changes. Things happen. Different things take place. God is brought into a circumstance and the circumstance changes. How do you think my prayer's been going for my grandson since he's been in the hospital? There's not one day that has gone by that God has not heard me petition, petition, petition. And there will not be a single day. And there's not a single day I haven't prayed for each one of my children while they're alive. And why should I stop praying? In fact, the reality check is that we should pray, we should stretch it out, we should fully stretch it, we should extend it, we should pray without any undue let up, and that's fervent prayer. And Peter, by the way, was in prison, kept in prison, and the church fervently prayed. In their case, this fervent prayer probably had a 2 or 3 week process in it. But guess what? He was released. It's so amazing that when the church found out he was released and standing at the door, they didn't even believe it. They were like, nah, we've only been praying fervently for that. When you're praying, there are times where you offer it up, let it go, then just move on. And there are other times, depending on how the Holy Spirit's engaging with you, that you pray like crazy. You fervently pray. You pray just as it says in Acts chapter 12, verse 5. And you don't stop. No let up. No give up. And you think, well, that seems so. That's what God wants. You think, well, why would God want that? Because it demonstrates a commitment and a conviction to connect with God continually. And to petition and believe that he can and he will. And you have a doggy faith that won't move. A bulldoggy faith. That's what I was looking for. Bulldoggy faith. That's just really firm. That's why. So when you're praying, pray that way with that commitment. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
What's happening is the churches and educators and our government and everybody is too concerned about being politically correct. And what's happened is the walls have fallen down, and we need to rebuild them, and we need to build them back. And the only way we can do that is with God's people taking a stand.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I will say, especially in regards to the political correctness, it's just man's attempt to establish their own righteousness apart from God. And that's why it has so much confusion attached to it that nobody can figure out what's going on, because it goes all over the place.
Well, the only hope for America is not the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. My hope is in God and his people taking a stand this coming election season. And let's get men and women in office. And again, I'm not telling people to vote for, but we need to take a stand for God's truth and his righteousness.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I just want to thank you and extend a thank you to you for taking the time to come on the show, sharing with us, giving us that perspective. I appreciate it. And it was a privilege and an honor for me to have you on the show, sir. Thank you.
Thank you for inviting me. God bless.
All right. God bless you, too. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Pastor Franklin Graham.
You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that, too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. If you want to reach us, you can call 972-445-0770. You're welcome to say howdy. Website, hemustincrease.org. That's the website. Hemustincrease.org from John 3:30. He must increase, but I must decrease. I can't express enough how important I think that is for each one of us as we are growing in the Lord, that if you really want to find yourself, I'm looking to find myself, Dave. I've taken on the journey where I want to find myself so I can figure out who I am, because that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read all the books from all the people who have claimed that they found themselves and find out how do I find myself. You want to find yourself? Jesus made it very clear. Die to yourself. And then you will find life in Christ. There you go. You think, well, that doesn't sound very fun. You want to be fulfilled as a part of God's creation or not? Or do you want to just keep stuffing things in there that you think might make you happy, but often and always don't? I mean, it's just, let's see. We have a creator. He created us. He tells us what to do so we can find our ultimate fulfillment. But instead of doing that, I'll do something else. You want to know what the answer is? More of God. That's the answer. You think, well, that's just ridiculous. That's not how you run a government. That's exactly how you run a government. If there was more of God in our government, you wouldn't have the circus you have going on. I mean, that's exactly what we need. And to that effect, that is the place not just for fulfillment. It's a place for safety. It's a place for grace, a place for mercy. In the presence of God, connected to God, I'm a very, very big proponent and advocator for people having a personal relationship with the Lord God Almighty. I am very committed to people having a relationship with the Father, relationship with the Son, and relationship with the Holy Spirit, which, by the way, those are all fun. Ha! So I use my own blabbo to make it work. Here's why. Scripture says each one of those is accurate. Our fellowship is with the Son. We fellowship with the Holy Spirit, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. It's like, look at, this is the way that God set it up. And you think, well, why did God reveal himself that way? He wanted us to get different aspects of him and to understand him a little better, but you're not going to fully understand God since he's an infinite being and you're a finite being. And you can't fit all of infinite into finite. What you can do, though, is hang out with the Lord. What you can do is find out that hanging out with God is cool. What you can find out is there are times where you can go by yourself where nobody else is around and talk to the Lord. And believe it or not, this is so amazing, especially if you understand Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 22, the presence of God kind of comes over you and you're like, what is going on here? That's the Lord going, hi, this was my intent. I'm going to take a second here and look at Psalm 91. It says it's a very intimate psalm. Listen to what it says. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the follower's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrows that fly by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. Any plagues coming around the world right now, like in China? 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You only will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near you. He will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all ways, and they will lift you up in their hands so you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. It's a shame that Satan, in using this psalm to try and get Jesus to test God the Father, has made it in such a way that this psalm doesn't get enough props, doesn't get enough preach. I mean, there are three things in here that are just phenomenal for the Christian, just phenomenal. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, in hanging out with God, verses 2 through 8 gives all these promises of protections and promises and cool stuff, and it's all because you dwell in the shelter of God. And when you dwell in the shelter of God, you're close. You're close. This is not about you knowing about God. I know of God. Well, that's fantastic. But until you know God, you're not getting in. The devil knows of God. Congratulations. But you need to know him, not know of him. You need to have a relationship with him. You think, well, how can you have a relationship with God? Well, prayer is you talking to God, and you reading his word is him talking to you. Oh, man wrote that book. Are you going to tell me that God can create the universe, but the dude can't write a book? How ridiculous is that? So in verse 1, he says, hey, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. All these promises and all these cool things. And then verse 9, if you make the Most High your dwelling. It's like, oh, so if you kind of hang out in the Lord, It's kind of like things change. They have a different perspective. Exactly. Verse 14, because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. God knows your commitment. God knows your passion. God knows if you're playing church. It doesn't matter whether the pastor or the elders or the groups or your Bible study or your fellowship group or your kinship group or whatever you want to call it. It doesn't matter if they know. God knows. And the whole key in this is to understand that it is about this communion with God. What do you think is going to happen in heaven? It's about communion with the Lord. And the Lord's like, hey, because this person loves me, I'm with him. And that's why you can have Psalm 112, verse 7. I will not fear bad news. My heart is steadfast, trusting in thee. That's why David, a man after God's heart, passionate about his communion with God, passionate about his love and his connection with God, could go through all the things that he went through. Does it mean he was sinless? No, I think everybody knows better than that. But you know he looked to God as his Savior. You know it. You read it and you go, yeah. You read the Psalms and go, amazing. That's exactly how I feel. And so when we make God our dwelling place, when God is our abode, when we, Jesus said, you know, you are the vine, I am the vine, you are the branches, abide in me, live in me, dwell in me. That's what that, by the way, the word abide means to live in. And so we're supposed to live in him. That closeness that we have with him, that gets us through. And you think, well, what about when bad things happen? You don't run away from God like Adam, you run to God. You get closer. That's why he must increase and we must decrease. That's why there needs to be more of him and less of us. Because every time there's more of us, it's somehow connected to the flesh. Somehow it's connected to our own exaltations. Some way, something. I don't know what it is. And so we need to make it. We need to dwell in the shelter of the Most High. We need to make the Most High our dwelling place, verse 9 says. And because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. You want to be rescued? Love the Lord. Enjoy the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. Enjoy his communion. Enjoy his presence. Let his word speak to you. Share your heart with him. Have a relationship with God that's real, not phony. Make it real. You know how to make it real. Just be honest and let the Lord come back and talk with you and show you and declare to you his love for you. Then you got something cooking. Get it? All right. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a 23-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then. Destroying everyone
and everything. Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.